Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. Sorry about the lapse of time there. Thank you for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation. If you came in here Blog Talk Radio, thank you very much. You also could come through here from the website for the show, which you can find the link to that on the homepage of the Bard's Logic Political Talk show. And also, if you go to the About the Show page, you will find at the bottom, after the description of the show, a link to the Conservative Conversation, which will show at least three more other shows, one by Samuel Samford. That show is from 10 p.m. to midnight, sometimes 1 a.m. And you also have the Mark Preshick Show, which is from midnight to 2. And you also have Charlotte Dively's Pray You Say Show. So I recommend checking those out at some time and support the other show hosts of Bard's Logic Political Talk. Now, tonight, we are going to welcome South Carolina's grassroots leader for the Newt Gingrich campaign, Ann Newsom. Now, she will be on tonight to discuss her food blog, The Saturday Evening Pot. She will discuss her and her husband's business, website, and share a recipe with the audience inspired by the Girl Scouts' famous cookie, the Thin Mint. So, one of the things that she has been known for that a lot of the people in the audience will recognize her from is her work with the Newt Gingrich campaign. And I'd like to play a clip here that Ann Newsom was featured on, along with others, to talk about the campaign, the grassroots campaign. So take a listen and enjoy.
Hi, this is Dick Kelman. I'm a volunteer for Newt Gingrich. And I just called to see if you would give Newt his support on April 3rd. Again, I want to thank you in advance for your time and your support. Have a great evening and a great weekend. Thank you.
Bye. When Newt scaled back his campaign staff, there was an increase in the conversation and things happening on Newt's network with his supporters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that there is momentum building in the grassroots. People who really do believe that Newt is the best person for the job, that he has the strongest ideas and plans for America. So those of us who do believe that see that we need to pick up our efforts, not back away.
That's right.
That we're going to step in and we're going to take where some of that other has left off and move forward.
So what motivates you to keep fighting or supporting Newt Gingrich?
Because I believe he's a man who wants to lead this country, has a backbone that will stand up against our left-wing liberal media. He has a knowledge, he's brilliant, and he can stand up, and he can be a man that this country needs at this time. You know, trying to say that he's defeated, but he is a positive, forward-thinking man that will not give up, and he's ready to go to Tampa.
Okay. What do you say to people who say, well, but I want somebody I know who can beat President Obama, and I'm afraid that only person is Mitt Romney?
I would encourage them not to give up and continue to support Newt, because he's going on that floor at the convention, and he's going to be able to take those soft delegates and be able to sway them to see his brilliance, and they're going to vote for him.
What needs to happen is the messages that he has in his campaign, we don't need to let him fall on the floor. We need to keep carrying, keep echoing him, because the same issues are going to be in each of our congressional campaigns, each of our Senate campaigns, and we need to make sure the same issues that we're concerned about today are echoed in the future campaigns around us. I think the process that we started here is a grassroots for the larger change. I mean, I'm involved now, she's involved now. There are thousands of people that weren't involved before this campaign started for president. They are now going to be involved actively in making sure that the agenda and the items that are on that contract are, some of them, being followed, or at least being put in.
Christians are concerned about social issues, and I've been a Christian for over 20 years, and those are important to me as well. But if I can't feed my family, if you know, my husband doesn't have a job or I don't have work, you know, those are a moot point. They're important, but some of the other issues are more critical at this point in our country's history. And Newt, you know, nails all of those, and he is strong on the social issues as well. He's a very balanced candidate. I would say that we have lost volunteers, but what I'm saying is that it's kind of the thing where you know who your friends are when things get tough, and those who believe in Newt are going to just do even more now. And you find that the core people that are supporting him, their strengths are going to come out, and it's going to shine even greater. And people are doing more than they've ever done before.
And we now have a network that we would have never had if Gingrich hadn't been in our state. And that network is in every other state that he's been in, and that network's going to help carry his message longer and further, because it's not done with paid staff, it's done with real ideas.
The length to which the primary season has gone as being detrimental to the process?
No, I mean, like Newt says, it's history. It's all part of history, and we can't give up on it now.
Hi, Mr. Jameson. Hi, it's Jerry Jameson I was calling. My name is William Giles. I'm a volunteer, and I want to first thank you for taking my phone call. I'm calling from South Carolina. I voted for Newt Gingrich in the election. I agreed to make some phone calls, and you were on a list of names that Speaker Gingrich wanted me to call and see if you'd be voting on April 3rd. Terrific. Have you decided who you're going to be voting for? Are you considering Speaker Gingrich? Hot dog! That's what I wanted to hear. You just made my call so much happier. We're sitting down here in South Carolina. There are three of us making calls today at their house, at Mr. Hillman's, and boy, I'm always happy to hear someone voting for Newt. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Mr. Jameson, for taking my call tonight. You sure made me smile.
Good. You take care, sir. Good night. Hot dog.
I guess you don't.
Hello and welcome to the Saturday Evening Pot. Today we'd like to feature the first episode in a new series we're starting on the website called The Chef's Table. It was very common when I was in culinary school and in restaurant circles for the executive chef to have his own prep table, and no one was allowed to do any work on that table or produce anything in the kitchen except the executive chef. And me being the chef on the Saturday Evening Pot, I'm going to take liberties here in my own kitchen. The purpose of these vignettes is to show you some tips and tricks that I picked up in culinary school and in the restaurant business with the hope to make your culinary experience easier, to make cooking more enjoyable. So we'll hope you'll stop by often, and we look forward to seeing you again. Thank you. Welcome to the first episode and the first training tip at the Chef's Table. Today we're going to talk about a quick and easy way to dice an onion. Here at the Saturday Evening Pot, we do a lot of low country cuisine and southern cooking. We utilize onions on a regular basis. I'm going to show you two ways to cut an onion. The first way is the classic method, which I learned at Johnson & Wales University. I find this technique cumbersome. I find it time consuming. And in my years at the resort, working in the banquets and catering department, I learned a much quicker and easier way. Now, as in any business, in the restaurant business, time is money. So the quicker you can produce food, the quicker you can turn tables, the quicker you can feed people, and the more people you can feed in a certain period of time, the more money you're going to make. So let's get started. What I have here is two sweet Vidalia onions from South Georgia. This is my favorite onion. It's not as sharp, it's not as bitter, it has a rather mellow taste. But I'm going to show you the classic way that I learned in culinary school first. First thing we're going to do is we're going to trim the head off, and then we're going to trim the what they call the butt off. This is the root side of the onion. I'll move these trimmings over to my scrap table here. We're then going to peel the onion. What I do is make a small notch like this, starting from the top and from the bottom, and then using my fingers, we're just going to pull a very thin layer of the onion off. Now, some would say, well, what about waste? Well, in the scheme of things, this is minimal, so I wouldn't worry about it. Okay, now we have the cleaned, peeled, and trimmed onion. Now, in culinary school, what they taught me to do in the first lab was to take your knife and your cutting hand, hold the onion firmly with your offhand, which in my case is my left hand. And the first thing you're going to do in order to do a dice, which is a small square cut of an onion, you're going to take the knife and you're going to cut slices down into the onion, but not all the way through, equal distance across the onion. So we're going to go across like this. I'm going to do a medium dice on this one because it's easier. The bigger the cut, the easier it is to do. You're then going to turn the onion 45 degrees, or excuse me, 90 degrees, and then you're going to cut again, not going all the way through the onion. Now, the camera's not going to allow you to see this, but what I have is perfectly square pieces of onion, and I have a crosshatch pattern of cuts in the top of the vegetable. Then what we would do is just turn the onion up on its side, grip it in a claw grip, and just slice. And as you can see, you have perfectly square diced pieces of onion. Okay, now, what if you didn't want to use the whole onion? Well, you've got the onion already pre-cut to a certain size. And trying to mash this up and continue doing with this just proved to be cumbersome. There's a lot of cuts in this move, and there's a lot of, it just seems slow. So I'm going to show you the way that I was taught at the resort by the executive chef there. Let's move this to the side, and let's put this up in the corner. Okay, now this is how I was taught to cut or to dice an onion. And I'm going to show you a medium dice, I'm going to show you a small dice. First step is exactly the same. You're going to cut the head off, but you're going to keep your knife planted firmly to the cutting board, and you're going to turn the onion back. And if you'll notice, I just removed a small piece of the peel. Okay? Just move that to the side. Then we're going to do the same thing with the butt end of the onion, which is the root end. Keep your planted and remove. Then we're going to take the onion, instead of peeling it now, like in the first way, we're just going to cut the onion in half, like this. Lay your knife down. Now look how easy it is to peel it. No small cuts, no trimming, no runs, no drips, no errors, like Johnny Bench used to say. So what we have now are two halves of an onion, and you'll notice they kind of look like a mountain. Here's where it gets simple. First thing we're going to do is take the half of the onion, we're going to set it up in a mountain. You notice it's on a flat surface, it's good and firm, it's not going to move. And the first thing we're going to do is a medium dice. We're going to turn the onion like this, we're going to hold it in a claw grip with our off hand. We're going to put the chef's knife on top of the onion, then we're going to fold our off hand over the onion and over the knife, gripping the onion firmly, and then we're just going to do slices all the way through the onion. Alright, now I have the mountain, if you will, or the half onion. I have four equal slices all the way through. The second step is to take your offhand and grip the onion very firmly between your thumb and index finger. You're then going to take your knife and your cutting hand, you're going to put the point of your knife on firmly on the cutting board, and then you're just going to do slices. And you're going to slice until you get to the top of the mountain. You see, I'm right at the middle of the hump. You're going to move your onion over, and then you're just going to flip it down, and you're going to continue to slice. And there you have it. You still have the good equal cuts in the dice design, but to me, it's a lot faster. All right, last thing I want to do, that was a medium dice. This is a petite dice. I just want to show you the variations. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to put our chef's knife on top of the onion, fold our offhand over, holding the onion firmly, and we're going to do real thin slices this time. And as you can tell, I've made about twice to three times as many slices across the width of the onion as I did before. We're also going to, again, we're going to turn the onion 90 degrees. We're going to hold it with our offhand very firmly, because if the slices slip, you're going to have a mess. So hold it firmly, and then we're going to slice in an even smaller pattern. Working our way up to the summit of the mountain, we're going to scoot it over, flip it down, and complete your dice. And there you have it. The same result, but in my opinion, a much easier and quick process. Because as we all know, time is money. We appreciate it, and thank you for watching, and we'll hope you'll come back soon.
Okay, folks, I hope you enjoyed the little audio presentation, and I believe that on their website, the full presentation in video, and you can also find the link to their show from the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. Just came in, and you haven't heard about it already, just go to the homepage, click on the link, and it will send you there. Go to the featured guest area, and it will have where it says visit, and you can click there and visit the link. So enjoy. We're still waiting for Ann Newsom to come in. She should be calling in about 6 minutes to talk about her show, or not her show, her food blog. So I would like to see if I can find something that people will enjoy for the time that she's in. So let's see what I can find here for you. Oh, I already played that. That one's too long. Let's see here. That's the thing about these organic shows. Sometimes you just never know what you're going to get. Here's a great one. Here's a great one. The audio is not that fantastic because it plays some kind of music in the background that I don't like, but cause it's kind of distracting. But this is Newt Gingrich saying, America's magical. And I'm playing that one, of course. I'm a Newt Gingrich fan. Plus, Ann Newsom was very helpful in helping out the Newt campaign and the grassroots campaign.
America is magic. It's why cynics and academics and Europeans and others never quite understand this. And we're magic because we really do believe that we can be a city upon a hill. We really do believe that we have been endowed by our Creator. And that isn't an act of arrogance. It's an act of humility. Because it means we have a responsibility. We are people who have been placed on this planet with the opportunity to extend freedom all the way to every human being. We care about people so much that if there's a tsunami in Indonesia, we're there. If there's an earthquake in Turkey, we're there. If there's a hurricane in Honduras, we're there. Part of us has a tear every time a child is lost. And it's why if you watch our news, we pay such intense attention when children are lost. Because every single child is a child of God. We've gotten off on the deep end, and we've done this before, and we're in a little bit of a mess, and we've had a weak period of political leadership, and we have bureaucracies that think they're Europeans and that we're only subjects and they can order us around, and we have judges who are alienated and think that they actually represent some international worldview superior to the Constitution, and we have a news media that reflects the academic world and an academic world that reflects a fantasy of the left, and so all those things come together. And we have some problems. We are the wealthiest, most extraordinary society in the history of the human race. At this very moment, we are the largest economy by a large scale. We are capable of pulling away from China as decisively as in the 1990s we pulled away from Japan. We have the most powerful military in the history of the world. But we have to come back to grips with a decision about who we are. And what I would say to every young person here tonight is, you're at the edge of a revolution in scientific knowledge that is going to liberate you in the next half century fully as much as any generation of Americans. I'll close with a person I admire a great deal that Chris and I did a movie about, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was born when he had horse cattle. When we went out and filmed the movie, and we were at the ranch, I saw it, and the ranch is very small, 1950s style building. I saw this picture on the wall that I'd never seen before. It was Ronald Reagan in the 1930s, in a U.S. cavalry uniform, not from a movie, but from an Army Reserve unit. Reagan was in one of the last horse cavalry units in the U.S. Army, as a reserve officer. He'd grown up. He was born before motion pictures had sound. He went to Hollywood when Technicolor was brand new. evolved into television, which had not existed. And he spoke to the nation about the explosion of a space shuttle and the death of a teacher assistant. All in one lifetime. And so he believed that you ain't seen nothing yet. And I said, every young person here tonight, we will be back. We will rebuild the country we love. And we will save the planet. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Calling in about a minute, so she might be running a little bit behind schedule. She's a very busy person, so we'll hold on for a little bit longer. Oh, and I think that is her as we speak. So without any further ado, I will let in Anne.
Hello.
Hello, Anne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Great, great. So, how you been? How's it going?
Yeah, good. Good. Just got the kids in the bed and tried
to get... Oh, there you go.
Yeah, tried to get in a few things before calling in, but...
Oh, no problem. I understand. No, I understand.
Like
oh, yeah, well, the computer was frozen on that I usually use for the show, so I was scrambling to try to get something going before the show started. I mean, literally, I finally was able to get on 5 seconds before the show started. I was able to get things booted up because I said, your show will be on in 5, 4, 3. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I was freaking, you know, my daughter's got a friend over and I'm not being the gracious host. You know, I'm flying all over the place trying to get things connected, this and that. And my daughter's like, Dad, I've got a guest here.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's not what we're talking. That's not what we're here to talk about tonight. We are talking about your food blog, the Saturday evening pot, and I played two clips today. Well, three actually, but two pertaining especially to you and your blog. The first one I played where you were interviewed by CNN while you were one of the grassroots leaders for the Newt Gingrich campaign in South Carolina, and the second one I played was the how to chop an onion audio clip. I believe that was your husband who made, correct?
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, well, great. But go ahead and you get the floor and tell us what you'd like the audience to know, both people listening live now and people in the chat and people who'll be listening later on the archives.
Okay. Well, my husband went to culinary school at Johnson & Wales several years ago. It was a career change for him. He had been a police officer and just kind of felt like that wasn't, you know, going to be a long-term thing for him. We both really felt that way. So he definitely had some talent with cooking and really enjoys cooking. So kind of, I guess, a natural decision was to explore, you know, culinary school, and he decided to do that. And our goal kind of was to possibly start a catering business at some point. We knew it probably wouldn't be immediately after he graduated. And he started looking at and preparing to start a personal chef business. But we started talking about starting a family and possibly adopting, and we actually did end up adopting a child for our first, and so that involves a lot of expense, and so any money that would have gone towards startup for a, you know, business,
mm-hmm,
had to go towards the adoption. So that kind of got thrown out the window, at least for the time, and he actually ended up working now with a beverage distributor, so not really working in his full-time job in the restaurant business or in the kitchen. So in 2011, right before the turn of the new year, it was sometime in November, December, we started talking about maybe starting a food blog because we just are constantly trying new recipes or he's developing new recipes and we love to eat and we love to eat out and just food in general.
Mm-hmm.
And
looking from the video that I've seen tonight, you wouldn't know that looking at you. Because you like to eat out, you wouldn't know.
Well, I was blessed with a high metabolism, and I do try to make healthy food choices, and I try not to overindulge too terribly much. So I'm pretty healthy.
Well, I've seen some of those desserts on the website,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, really? I'll see
yeah.
How you could do that. I'd be like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I know. And my sweet tooth has gotten worse since having my daughter. I've heard pregnancy can make your body change in a lot of ways, and I've heard that you can develop a sweet tooth or other types of taste or whatever that you didn't have before, and I've seen that definitely happen. So I don't know. It may be a combination of developing more of a sweet tooth or just stress eating too, because you know, having children and parenting can be pretty stressful sometimes, but it's fun too. So, anyway, we decided to start a food blog as a way to kind of catalog, I guess, recipes and share with other people who might enjoy cooking and maybe want to know recipes that we've had. Food is always a topic of conversation with friends and family since we love to eat so much. Usually somehow revolves around food sometimes a lot. So anyway, we decided to do that and to also possibly, you know, make money because when you blog,
that's always
you can,
a good thing.
Yeah, you know, you can make money through advertising or affiliate programs. So, hey, you know, if we're going to be blogging and, you know, why not, right? I mean, anybody who is running a household and trying to raise children, and extra money is always helpful. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And in this economy, you certainly have to think outside the box when it comes to ways of trying to make a living.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's, you know, I learned we had been in another type of business before, and one of the things that we learned then was that it's always a good idea to diversify, and you know, if you can have different streams of income coming into your house, that's always helpful because you never know when you might lose one. So anyway, that was also one consideration we had when developing our blog. So it's been a lot of fun. There's always a learning curve when you start something new, and
oh yes.
You know, because I mean, if you're doing it to make money or, you know, or anything you do, if, you know, most people want to be successful in the things that they do.
Of course.
And we're definitely like that. So, you know, we're always looking at different ways to improve and, you know, marketing and just all those kinds of things. So,
now, how long have you been at doing the food blog? And have you had any other blog experience?
We launched it in January 2011 as a New Year type project that we would do together, and we've been going strong since then. I did start a really just like a family blog before we did this, and I really enjoyed it. But I don't think blogging about our family activities, and we didn't really want to open that up too much
to
everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kept it more of a private type blog, and just finding topics to blog about other than just stories of things that we did and the children were doing seemed hard sometimes for me. I'm not as much a creative thinker as some. I tend to be more analytical and that kind of thinking, but.
So would you say your husband's the creative one then, of the business?
You know, he really is. He's more of the creative one, and especially, you know, in the kitchen, he's just really good at that. He has a natural talent for it, and people always enjoy eating what, you know, things that he's made. So we just figured, you know, why not share it, you know, in some way online? So it would give him a way to enjoy that talent and share it with other people since he's not doing it in his full-time job right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, I was going to share the recipe, too. I'm just trying to find it.
No, no problem. Yeah, I was looking at it for the video I played today about the onion chopping. I seen the salmon. There it is. So, yeah, because I want to tell the folks listening in, and then those who are going to listen in later on the archives, which that's one of the things I like about Blog Talk Radio is, you know, if people don't get the opportunity to, you know, call in or listen in during, I mean, I prefer live shows, I think, especially when we have people participating in the chat, you know, and people, you know, calling in, you know, on the other nights. It's, you know, it's always, you know, more fun, you know, to have people chiming in, and there's that interaction, which I really like about Blog Talk Radio, is you interact with the audience, you know, in that capacity.
Right.
But the archive portion is great too, because, you know, I mean, especially depending on, you know, what time, people could just come, you know, go and listen to your archive, but, you know, at their leisure, they can download it, you know, and then, you know, through my understanding, they could put it on an iPod and just listen to it later, I guess, in their car or what have you. So
yeah,
it really opens things up, you know, especially if you want to have, like, an informational campaign going on, that you don't have to feel like, well, you know, if it didn't get out, this information didn't get out live as much as I'd like to, there's at least, the archive section where you can refer people to, like, oh, hey, check this out. I mean, like on radio shows, think about on a radio show, normally once it's done, you know, over the
exactly.
dial radio. But here on the Internet, it's much different.
So how do you sign into the chat? I don't see anything obvious.
Okay. Well, are you on the homepage? Are you on the show's
right.
homepage?
Yes.
Okay. Where does it say? Where it says on? Now you want to turn down your radio. I mean, not your radio. If you're on your
turn down
well,
my speakers.
Yeah, the speakers for the computer. You'd want to turn them down.
Okay.
But yeah, it should have a little red button there that says on air.
Yeah, I see that. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, you just click that and then. You know, it might ask you to sign in, or you'll just, if you come in as just a guest, and I believe if you don't sign in, then you cannot participate in the chat. I don't even think that gives you the option to chat if
okay.
you'd like to chat.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
If you'd like to chat, you know, I guess there's a sign-in prompt, but if not, you know, that's okay, too. You can still listen to the show and call in as you did. So, you know, whichever way you want to do it, of course, is fine, so.
Yeah, I just was going to check out the chat because I don't know if I've ever seen the chat on Blog Talk Radio. Actually, first time I learned about Blog Talk Radio, I think, was back during the last political presidential election,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Well, I believe you're the one who turned me on to Sam Sanford.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe you're the one who told me about Sammy. And, you know, I went to the show and I talked, you know, a lot on a show as a guest. And, you know, he'd let me in a guest and I talk a lot. And then I had, you know, a bunch of people say, well, Robert, you should probably, you know, get your own show. Try to get your own show. And I'm like, well, you know, it has some appeal to it. It has some appeal to it. But, I thought about it for a little while and it took me a little bit to get it going. And I finally did. And I think I'm in my seventh week now, sixth or seventh week. And the show is, you know, it's steadily growing. You know, sometimes, you know, some nights are better than others. That's another reason why, as I said, I like the blog, the archive portion of it, because, you know, the archive is just phenomenal. I mean, I had one show where there was 17 times more archived listens than live listens.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's
right.
Big.
Oh, yeah, it's a big difference. That's why I love that capacity. And what I do, actually, for my Wednesday night shows is I do a rebroadcast of the show, and I rebroadcast it on Friday evenings. So for those who'd like to hear, you know, it's kind of a quasi-live. I mean, it's as it's running, but there's no chat, or talking in at that point, you know, to just able to listen live and not go to the archive, but you'd be surprised, there's actually people who will come in live and listen to it on a Friday night, you know, as well, even though they know it's been a rebroadcast.
Right, yeah. Yeah, sure. So I don't know if you mentioned to the listeners that you wrote a guest post for the blog that I published just a little while ago about ways to go green.
in the I did not. I appreciate you bringing it up. No, I kind of thought maybe that might have been a little narcissistic if I did that. So
well, I want to be sure and let them know because some of them probably participate in your green conservatism night or day. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for bringing it up. I appreciate you. Yeah, so it was fun, you know, doing it, you know, writing the article, and it was really neat seeing it on your blog, and I really appreciate that. And actually, you know, on the website, I do have one page. It's still under construction. Is what I'd like to put on my Green Conservatism page. There's also some links on there, which I have not yet, and some video. Mm-hmm. But it does give a description of green conservatism and, you know, what it's about. And actually, the green conservative isn't my phrase. It's a phrase Newt Gingrich coined. It's a term that Newt Gingrich coined. So, but yeah, I appreciate it. I hope people get a lot of use out of that article.
Yeah, I hope so. So if this is a good time, I will share the recipe with everybody.
Oh, sure. Yeah. This is kind of a, you know, an organic, speaking of that, an organic show where, you know, there is some structure, especially to, you know, my other shows, my Sunday through Tuesday, and then my Thursday night shows. There's definitely more structure to them than my Wednesday night shows, because it's pretty much a free-for-all for whoever the guest is on. So.
Yeah, sure. So the recipe that I thought might be fun to share, because I know that a lot of people like Girl Scout cookies, and this recipe was really inspired by one of the Girl Scout cookies, and I actually found out that it's the most popular or the best-selling of all the Girl Scout cookies, which is the
Thin Mints. Oh, yes. My daughter is a Girl Scout, and she sells Girl Scout cookies. So the people and listener out there, I'm going to find a way to hit people up the next Girl Scout cookie selling cycle, because I'm devising of a way to, you know, what I like to do is I want to find a way to take donations to, it's not for me, it's just what it is the funds will go to the Girl Scouts, and what the funds would do is it will buy cookies for, Girl Scout cookies for the military, because that's one of the options here is if you don't want to actually have cookies for yourself, you can order some boxes, and instead of the boxes coming to you, they'll send those boxes of Girl Scout cookies to the military.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, which is a great program. So I'm going to try to, you know, use that and, you know, find a way to link it up to what, you know, my daughter does for that. You know, of course, for her, you know, let's be frank, it'll increase sales for her because her goals get higher, you know, year by year. Last year she sold 500 boxes. And so this year her goal is going to be 750 boxes. So, of course, you have
really?
To.
Really?
Yes. And so when we're, you know, and so we're thinking that, you know, trying to think of ways outside the box. No pun intended. Just happened to work out that way. work outside the box to, you know, to get that accomplished. But, yes, that's how I know that the Thin Mints are, you know, no matter what state you're in, it seems the Thin Mints are the most popular.
That's interesting. You know, I mean, I guess I wouldn't have thought that it would be the Thin Mints. I guess I might have thought it might be something like more basic, like the shortbread
mm-hmm.
cookie, or I don't know. My favorite's the tag along, but.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, that's the peanut butter with the chocolate peanut butter, right? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I eat it. Yeah. You know, I end up having to get 31 boxes this year, so. I told my daughter I'd buy one more box than her highest buyer, and someone actually bought 30 boxes.
So
in turn, I bought, hey, you know, I was hoping somebody would buy 50 boxes because that would just go better for her. But anyway,
right.
I digress. Go ahead,
yeah.
Ann.
You can't let anybody else outbuy you, right, as her dad? All right, so this recipe we published back in December, actually, because we did it as more of a Christmas recipe, but obviously it can be any time of the year. The only reason that we kind of tied it in with Christmas was because of the colors, green and red being part of the recipe. So, but it's called the Thin Mint Holiday Mini Ice Cream Sandwich. And all of our recipes should be linked on our recipe index page. That needs some work. I've got to go through and work on that page because we've gotten to a point where we've got enough recipes to where we need to break them down into categories. But they are
mm-hmm.
right now by alphabetical order, and I do have one category separated, which was a series we did. But anyway, you know, it's easy to find on our recipe index if you know the name. So it's called a Thin Mint Holiday Mini Ice Cream Sandwich.
Okay, well, I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm on their website now, and I'm going to put a link in the chat here.
Sure.
So let me do that for the audience. And also what I'm going to do for the, I'm going to try to put a link in the chat. the computer I'm on here is a dinosaur, and I can't convince my wife to get rid of it. So. Maybe she's some kind of, you know, deep down an archaeologist or something, so she don't want to get rid of the dinosaur. No. But I digress. So what? I'm going to read off the name of the website for the listening audience who are not in chat, and also for people who will not be able to see the chat because they're going to be listening to this on the archives. So it's www.thesaturdayeveningpot, and it's pretty much spelled just as you see it, as you heard it. So, you know, the and Saturday evening and pot all squanched together, .com. And what you can go there to listen to the recipe, or you can also listen to the recipe. You hear that, Ann? See the recipe, or also you could get to her website via my website. So either way the folks want to do it. So I'm going to go to the website here, your website here, and I'm going to look on that recipe. So if you can help me there here, Ann, on where I can – is it on the website you said?
Uh-huh. You just
Where can I find that?
You see the brown navigation bar right underneath the header.
Mm-hmm.
And it says recipe index. It's the third one over on the top.
Okay, great. Clicked it.
Yes.
Folks, I recommend if you have it in the chat, you know, check it out. Pull up the website so you can look at it along with us.
And then scroll down to the T's.
Come on, computer. Don't do this to me. I'm live.
I know. Isn't that the fun thing about being live? You can't redo any mess-ups or flubs or anything.
Yeah, there isn't a recording on the... Well, there is a recording, but you know what
But
I
that's
mean.
Okay, because, you know, we're human, so we're going to mess up every now and then.
Indeed. I tell my wife, I said, there's so many more advantages to being a robot that, you know... No. But, wow, there's a lot on here.
Yeah, it's 100-some recipes.
Oh, my gosh, wow. I see it, Thin Mint Holiday Mini Ice Cream Sandwiches.
And
it don't even have to be the holidays. I mean, especially here in Ohio, it has been so hot, 90s and 100 here. So, and I actually still, believe it or not, still have Girl Scout cookies that I bought. I still have boxes of Girl Scout cookies left.
Yeah, and, you know, that was one reason I thought this might be a good one to share because it has ice cream in it and it's hot. And
ooh,
actually,
gee,
July,
I'm looking at them now.
July is National Ice Cream Month.
Ah,
so.
Oh yeah. Now you guys have square. These are square Girl Scout cookies.
Now these
are around here in Ohio.
No. These are not. The ones that we use in the recipe are not Girl Scout cookies. But,
oh, okay.
But the flavors that are in this cookie, you know, are similar to the Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said it was inspired by the Girl Scout cookies.
Inspired by. Okay.
Inspired
when
by.
They look just like them, except they look just like the Girl Scout cookies. The cookie does it, except they're square and not round.
Exactly, yeah. So those are actually, as you can see on the ingredients, those are actually fudge graham cookies. And and the other ingredients are mint chocolate chip ice cream, canned whipped cream topping, and maraschino cherries halves.
Mm.
And so the instructions, there's a note up front that says, read all instructions prior to beginning, as you will need to have everything ready and to work quickly to prevent ice cream from melting. So, you know, that's helpful for people like me who maybe aren't quite as great in the kitchen to kind of have a little reminder, you know, be prepared. And the first step is to place one fudge graham cookie flat side up on the plate or a plate, using a 1 ounce or mini ice cream scoop. Place one scoop of ice cream onto cookie. Place a second cookie on top of the ice cream, pressing lightly to create a sandwich. Invert a can of whipped topping, placing nozzle tip directly on the top of the sandwich. Squeeze and place a small dollop of whipped topping directly on top of the sandwich, and then place 1/2 maraschino cherry on top of the whipped topping. So I guess if you were making these, for, you know, a special event or something, you would want to make them and put them in some kind of a container. I don't know if there's a way to kind of put some dividers in between them or not, but and then to put them in their in the freezer. They're probably better to try to make. These would probably be harder to make if, you know, you're trying to serve a larger crowd. It's probably a recipe just for smaller settings, family and, you know, smaller group settings.
Well, you could prepare them ahead of time if you had a lot of them. Couldn't you just prepare a lot of them and keep them in the freezer? Or at least until you get have to put the little dollop of whipped cream and the cherry on it.
Right, exactly, yeah, yeah. That would that should work. So, there you have it.
Well, that's good, and I'm actually trying to scroll on the website, but this as I said earlier when I first tried to come in tonight, I made it in within 5 seconds. When it did, is actually I have you know, a computer I have in the living room that I normally do not use, but it's kind of a backup computer. When this one, this dinosaur, is starting to act up, and it's never act up before like this. I've been doing this for 7 weeks, as I said, and I'm having a lot of troubles tonight. It's freezing up again, so I hope that doesn't cause any problems later, because I can't even get inside. My studio without it, so I might have to change venues within the home in order to continue with the show, at least being able to manipulate the buttons I have here in order to keep things running. Hopefully it doesn't last too much longer, because it's definitely a cause of frustration.
Do you ever notice that it gets slower in the evening hours?
Well, I haven't noticed. Well, not with this computer, not with this dinosaur I'm dealing with. And I keep getting a script button that comes up, so hopefully that doesn't last too much longer. Yeah, it just keeps, I apologize, folks. I don't know what is going on tonight. It's been one of those days, what do they call that, a Murphy's Law day, where absolutely everything that could go wrong today has gone wrong. So one of those frustrating days. So I can't even get back into the chat right now with this. So that's gonna be much to my wife's chagrin, especially when she's watching a baseball game, or if I'm gonna have to say, I need my computer to continue the show. So we're gonna have to forego the game, because the team that we're watching is actually doing pretty good this year. But unfortunately, I might have to do that. So because this is really, I don't know what's going on. This has really been a pain. If you have the, I don't. As I said, I don't know what the cause of it is. Yep. See, I'm getting the script problem again and again. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is terrible, folks. This is absolutely terrible. Well, tell you what, if you'd like to, talk more about your website, I'm going to go, or the business in general, or what your future plans are. I'm going to go and I'm going to hook up, it's completely going nuts on me. So if you could do that, Anne, I apologize to the audience for these technical difficulties. It's not on, I keep getting what's called an unresponsive script, and I don't know what's going on here. It's not cooperating. So I shall return. Just give me about 5 minutes, and go ahead, Anne. You have the floor.
Oh, okay. Well, since it's summertime, I thought maybe I could mention a couple of other recipes that people might be interested in that are good for summertime. One would be frog eye salad. It's a pasta fruit salad. It's my favorite fruit salad, and I didn't even know about it until I guess it was a couple years ago, a coworker, I think it was a coworker's wife, made it for a work event, and it's really, really good. It has pineapple and mandarin oranges, pineapple juice, pasta, and a couple other ingredients in it, but that's one that I always love to eat during the summertime. Then we have the strawberry freeze recipe, which was another one that I came across through a coworker. I think it was at the same workplace, but we love that one, and we have not had that one in a long time. But it's really, really good, too. I know a lot of people like to grill in the summer, and we have what's called zucchini and mushroom camper packets, which are made with zucchini, mushroom. I think there's onions in there, and there's also some Worcestershire sauce in it, and those are really good. Let's see, I'm trying to think if there's any others. On the recipe index page, you see the welcome recipes, and then you'll see the Feast of the Ages recipes, and that was a series that we did, I believe it was last year, from Easter on for about 21 weeks after Easter, and it ties our fate in with food, but we did a different recipe with a different type of ingredient each week, and one of those was mango and coconut. I'm not sure how to pronounce this word, congelar, I guess, but that's a Spanish word that we understood to meant, or understood to mean, I guess, freeze. And so we tried to have different types of recipes during that series, and so we brought in the Spanish influence there through that word, but that's also another type of ice cream recipe for summertime. Then there was also the lemon-lime ice cream shots also during that.
Oh, now that sounds great. Well, I'm back in. Thank you very much for covering. This is just absolutely horrible what's going on with this thing. It's utterly frozen. That this thing is shot. You know, maybe somebody who don't like my political views have bugged me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know what? Nope. You know, was that happening on our blog?
It could very well. It hasn't. I haven't had any problems in the past.
Okay, because I get that message on my blog page quite a bit, and I'm not sure what's causing it. I don't know if we've put something on there lately that is causing that script to come up, or that message about the script to come up. That's something I need to look at.
Oh, okay. So it could possibly be not coming from your site. It could be actually be coming. I mean, this could actually be coming from your the blog, or.
Well, I'm wondering if there's. If there was an update we made on the page or something,
okay.
That something is wrong, you know, that's causing that
exactly.
Message. I'm not high tech, so it's hard for me to know, but I do get that message sometimes on our blog page, which.
Oh, okay.
You know, if other people are getting it, then you know it's a problem. We need to.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just joking about the bug thing, but, I mean, there has been a time where I've actually gotten, you know, because of some of my political things, I've had people, you know, threaten me, and I've actually had someone try to, send me, you know, a virus one time. I caught it. You know, nothing bad came out of it because I got really good protection on my computer just because of that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's pretty adamant that, you know, I'm not worried about it. Just that's why I'm so baffled about what was going on because I never had that, but that's within the page itself. It's probably doing it. Okay, well, that's a relief. I hate to hear it on your end that could be the case, but that does answer some questions for me, and I really appreciate it, Ann. That's great. Thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for standing in. That's a great, let me tell you, folks, that's a great, you know, guest right there who will fill in for the host when the host is having technical difficulties. Thank you very much, Ann. I appreciate that.
Sure. You're welcome.
Okay, great. Now, I heard Spanish. I don't know, were you talking about a different recipe or?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was one of our recipes that we did during our Feast of the Ages series, which I was explaining. We did from Easter for about 21 weeks after Easter, tying in our fate kind of with food, and just did a recipe series. And so one of the recipes was called mango and coconut, and I know I'm not pronouncing it right, but congelar, it's a Spanish term, so I know that's totally not the right way to pronounce it.
That's okay.
But,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's one of those recipes. I'm trying to think what other. Oh, well, we did some Mexican. We did one Mexican recipe.
Ooh, is it like a dessert or is it just is it for
no,
food?
No,
oh,
it was
gosh.
A taco. Mini soft chicken tacos, I think, is what that one was.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And our crockpot recipes have been pretty popular, too. There are a lot of people that love cooking with crockpots.
Well, my wife and I tried to do a crockpot once, and let me tell you, it was, we didn't do that great. We only did it once, but we could really use some new recipes, because I know for those, you know, it's so busy anymore, you know, different families and things, you know, different have different schedules, and people just are all over the place, that, you know, those what do they call them? I know they're crock pots. Isn't there another name for them?
Slow cooker? Yeah,
yeah, slow cooker. Okay. You know, a slow cooker, yeah.
Yeah, so
you know,
one thing that we started recently is called Crockpot Sundays, and we don't have, you know, a post every single Sunday, but whenever we do, you know, that's a crockpot focus on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
That may publish early Sunday morning or late Saturday night. Usually it's probably early Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But if you scroll down all the way, I guess all the way almost to the bottom of every page, you'll see looking for something specific, and that's all of our tags. So you can click on, they're alphabetical, and you can click on Crockpot or Crockpot Sundays to see all of the Crockpot recipes that we have had so far. That would be the easiest, quickest and easiest way to find those. And that's another thing that we're trying to work with on our blog, because I feel like it's not as user-friendly navigation-wise as it could be, and I really would like
mm-hmm.
to have more drop-down menus up top
mm-hmm.
instead of all the tags, because we have quite a few of the tags, and they're all the way at the bottom.
Open up into a new window, or...
It should.
Well, the reason I'm asking is the different programs are different. Because and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Is we're talking about food and technical at the same time, so you can get
right.
a whole host of different subjects here, folks, that might be unexpected, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, and I, when I set up the website for the show, is instead of it. I thought it said opening up in a new window. I thought it was going to make a new tab, but it doesn't. So I actually get back to the previous page. You got to go back, hit the backspace or button or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, is that necessarily a good thing to not open up a new tab, or would it be? Because I'm thinking, you know, if you keep opening these tabs, you could have like five tabs lined up for one website. So maybe it's better the way that it's set up now instead of having all the different tabs. I don't know. I'm with you. I know people who are tech people that, you know, help me out with computer things, and actually that's what they do for a living. They're computer geniuses, so you know they deal with that kind of technical stuff for me. But
yeah, I just clicked on one and it did not open up a new tab. I think usually people who have websites, if the link is to a website that is outside of theirs, they usually want it to open up in a new tab, and they usually try to program it that way so that you're not leaving their website to go to the other website.
Yeah, I think we have to reset that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but internal links may or may not be, you know, set up that way. So in this case, with our tags, they're not set up that way. They open up right in the same tab, so...
Yeah, I'm gonna have to work on it. It's definitely a work in progress, but you know, one of the big reasons why, you know, I want to set it up is, you know, there's the video, you know, because I've had people say, you know, man, you know, I like the audio clip that you played, but I'd really like to see the video of it. And so, like, you know, you could put the video on the website, or, you know, or describe more. Oh, well, tell me more about green conservatism, and I have a page on there about green conservatism and different links for that. You know, or like tonight, you know, one thing I know I've been wanting to do for a while is, you know, the people who are going to be on my show, who are going to be guests on my show, I'd like to feature them on the website, so.
Right.
You know, kind of give them, okay, well, you know, having been a guest one night on a show, just at least for me, doesn't give as much exposure as I would like the guests to have. So I figured if it's also on a website, if anyone or when anyone visits the website, they can also visit the people who are going to be the guests of the show as well.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. One thing that I should mention is that if anybody, any of the listeners have any crockpot recipes that they would be interested in submitting for us to publish on our blog, that's something that we are interested in doing is, you know, publishing, like with your guest post, you know, about ways to be green in the kitchen today. We like to feature other people as well. If people have a blog or a website, you know, then we will link to that within the feature post. But we would love to have some more crockpot recipes to publish on Crockpot Sundays. We don't use our crockpot as much as some, I guess, do. So we don't have, you know, just an endless supply of crockpot recipes. And it would be great to have more of those. And if anybody would be interested in sharing their recipes, if we do want them to provide this original source if it's not their own recipe, because we
that's true.
We don't publish anything, you know, that's already been published, that's already out there. We would just, you know, link to the original source and just basically give a description of the recipe and talk about why the person, you know, really likes the recipe, you know, how their family enjoys it, the, you know, those kinds of things, if there's any kind of story to go along with the recipe. So anybody who's interested in doing that can go to our contact page, which is on the far right of the brown bar at the top underneath the header. It says askthechef/contact, and that's a contact form where you can let us know, you know, that you have a recipe that you'd be interested in having us consider for Crockpot Sunday, and we would be glad to do that.
Great, and that kind of gave me a little reminder. And it's also, if people like the show, they can go to the homepage of the show, and there's a little follow button where, you know, you just click it, and you follow the show. And I think the only thing that does is it gives you, I believe, because I haven't followed myself, you know, but. You know, so I haven't followed myself, and might even be different.
How do you do,
you know,
that? How do you follow yourself?
I guess it's like talking to yourself, or, you know, calling yourself, or no. I don't know. That's why I haven't done it. Plus, you know, I'm thinking, man, that's narcissistic if you follow yourself. Well, because you click, you know what I mean, and it counts as someone following you, and that, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but okay, I'm following myself. How narcissistic can that be? Now, you know, it's like it gives you that. It makes you give the illusion you have that extra one, that one extra follower, and I'm just like, no, I couldn't. I won't fail right following myself.
Right,
but,
right.
But anyway, but they could follow. Or there's, I also have a contact portion on my website as well, and I like to address people who go on the. You know, you go to the website, you brought up a question when we were talking on the phone, and some people might be, you know, by my question, that the same thing you did about the image that I have on there or the picture I have on the contact.
Mm-hmm.
One is, before I put the photo there, the image, it was just a blank, black spot. And I'm like, you know, that's not very aesthetically pleasing. So, you know, so I said, well, you know, let me put something there that kind of goes with the theme of, you know, the website. And you notice I have like a space-like background, and one of those rich. I'm just a big Star Trek fan. I thought it was neat, and you know, kind of went along with it. There's somebody who said something in the chat, and after I bring this up, I want to bring that up because I really like to include people in the chat into the conversation.
Oh,
but
I
also,
see that.
With the picture is there's like the middle, like a swirling purple. Portal opening, you know, a portal to contacting me. That's why I put that picture there. It's kind of like, you know, the circle represents a portal, you know, a portal contacting somebody. Plus, I think the color scheme goes well with the space kind of. So that kind of explains, you know, why I picked that picture.
Right.
If anybody, you know, so that kind of explains that. But the gentleman in the chat says, do you use Low Country South Carolina recipe from the
Gullah?
I'm trying to pronounce
mm-hmm.
it. Gullah people.
Yep. I'm glad this person brought this up because, yes, we do. My husband says that his kind of specialty in the culinary world is actually Low Country, you know, or Gullah Southern cooking. We're both from the South. We're both originally from North Carolina, but we've been in South Carolina since 2011, and we love South Carolina. I was actually telling you, Robert, about a guest post I did recently for a blog series on another blog called The Place Where I Live, and I highlighted some of the things that we've experienced in South Carolina as a family, and just provided some information for people who might be interested in checking out our state. But if mm-hmm. you are on our blog and you scroll down, like I said, to the tags, you will actually see Gullah, a Gullah tag, also Lowcountry. Let me find it. I thought it was there. I don't see it right now. So anyway, there is Gullah, and there's also Southern.
Can you give a little, for myself especially, and others in the, in the chat, and people will be listening to archives and listening, because I found out recently there's actually other venues where people can listen to the show. It just doesn't just necessarily, we don't see them here on the in the chat. There's actually other ways that they can listen to the show. I don't even know how they get there, to be honest. I just, when I look at the report, it says, oh, they got here through this thing and that thing, and I'm like, okay.
So right, I know what you
it's
mean.
It's more that technical stuff that I do want to learn more about. But just to explain to myself and the audience, can you describe what it means to be low country South, and also describe the Gullah people, or give some background on that?
Yeah, I'm not the best person to describe that. I might have to see if my husband would want to come on and explain that a little better, because he would be much better.
Sure, if he's there, he's okay with it. Well, I've got no problem with that. I'm sure the audience don't as well.
Yeah, I mean, he would be much better at describing what that means. The person on the chat who, if that person wants to come into the show and describe it,
that'd be phenomenal. That'd be phenomenal. Jared, that's his name. He's coming to the show before in the chat.
Yeah.
He has called him before, and I really appreciate when he comes in. So, yeah, Jared, if you've got some information on that, we'd really appreciate if you came in and chimed in on that. I think that would be great.
Yeah, and while we're waiting, I will just read off the list of recipes that we currently have that are labeled Gullah. The first one that shows up right now is Low Country Fish Stew. We did kind of a, not really a series, but there were several weeks in a row where we kind of had more of a Gullah cuisine focus. And this Low Country Fish Stew my husband developed out of basically...
Ooh, fish stew, that sounds good.
I
love fish.
Yeah,
go ahead,
yeah,
I'm sorry, Ann.
Oh, my daughter loved this recipe. This is one of her favorites. I mean, she gobbled it up, and then she wanted more. And both of my kids love seafood, so...
I love it. Mm-hmm.
Fish that particular week was on sale at the store, and so I had bought that and talked to my husband about, what are we going to do with this, because, of course, he's the one that makes those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told me, some other ingredients to pick up after thinking about what he might do with it, and he came up with this.
Okay, great.
That's really good.
Great. I'd really like to go over that list with you, but right now I don't want to keep, I believe, Jared on hold. He called in. I definitely want to hear the list, but let's see what he's got here. So let me let him in. Is that you, Jared?
Yeah. How you doing, Robert?
Oh, great, great, excellent. I'm glad to hear you call in. Please tell us about the Low Country, South Carolina. Kind of some background on that and the Gullah people.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
I'm from New Orleans. I live in New Orleans. So our cuisine in southern part of Louisiana is very, very similar to the Low Country, South Carolina, and Georgia. And during slavery times, the African population was the majority population in South Carolina. So a lot of the culture, particularly in that Low Country, was pretty much a lot of African traditions. The rice-growing tradition, for example, was because certain African groups were brought to South Carolina in Low Coast of Georgia to grow rice. So one of your basic staple, for many dishes among the Low Country is rice dishes, just like in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gullah people basically are the black people who are descendants of the many different African groups that were the majority on the islands and in the low coast where they grew rice, because many of the plantation owners were absentee. In other words, they may have lived in another part of South Carolina because a lot of the yellow fever that many of them would get. So it was always a majority black population. And that region of the country, the low country, South Carolina, the coast of Georgia, the language they speak is a very, what they call a creolized English, almost like a different language. They call it Gullah or Geechee.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you if that was your...
In other words, it's like a broken English that the African slaves created as they were using the English that they had to speak. Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, is from one of the islands off the coast of Georgia, and that was his first language. He did not speak standard English.
He did not know that.
Yes. And so in Louisiana, for example, we eat a dish called jambalaya, which is a rice dish with meat, chicken, and in South Carolina, they refer to it as red rice. Well, the commonality is that these were Africans that came with the rice, the art of cooking with rice and growing the rice. We eat gumbo in Louisiana, and there's something similar in South Carolina. So basically, that's what the Gullah culture is. It is the black culture in the low country that has maintained a lot of its strong African culture, traditions in cuisine, language, folk stories. Let me give you an example. Bugs Bunny Rabbit, the cartoon we see, was based off the smart, cunning rabbit. The person who developed that learned that from Joe Chandler Harris, who collected the stories that the blacks would tell on the plantation about animals, the same stories they told from Africa about the trickster rabbit. And so these are some of the cultural themes that make that low country, Carolina and Georgia, unique. And, and you have many anthropologists and historians who have just set shop in that area studying. There's a book called Black Rice, which looks at this whole tradition of rice growing in that part of the country and how the Africans introduced their being brought as slaves.
Well, Jared, I've got a question that's been, you know, going in my mind when you bring up the Bugs Bunny. Did that Bugs Bunny ever get caught and boiled? Because I would really love to see Bugs Bunny get caught. I cannot stand that character. I was never a Bugs Bunny fan. So I always liked to see him have some Hoss and Pfeffer made from that guy. I'm sorry, I digress. I like to interject humor into that sometimes.
The Bugs Bunny was the trickster rabbit. He was always a character that would always get himself into trouble, but get out of it. And these were the type of stories that were told on the plantation. And you had many writers would sit and listen to these enslaved blacks tell these stories, and then this is how they become part of popular American culture.
That's very interesting. I hope he did get eaten. do you guys use a lot of rice in your recipes, Anne, or at least with these kind of the gullah? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Gullah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you use a lot of the rice, like that in those recipes?
Well, I was just looking at the recipes that pulled up under that gullah tag, and actually noticed that one had gotten missed with that tag, so I just changed it. But the low country fish stew that I mentioned, it actually has potatoes in it instead of rice. But there's one called okra rice that uses rice. We also do have a gumbo, it's a shrimp gumbo recipe that we eat over rice. It's not labeled gullah either, but it's in there. If you pull up, we also have a rice tag, so you can actually see all the recipes that we've got that utilize rice. Some of those are gullah and some are not. But there's also one called Low Country Boil. Is Jared still on the line?
Yeah, the Low Country Boil, yeah.
You're probably familiar with that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, but I'm thinking we usually eat that over rice.
The only difference between South Carolina Low Country cuisine in southern Louisiana is we use different type of seasonings and spices that they may not use. But the times I've visited Charleston and some of the islands, beautiful islands off the coast of South Carolina, the food is basically almost as identical to the food here, just have different names.
Yeah, and the Louisiana?
Yeah, I mean New Orleans, yeah.
Or New Orleans, that's spicier, isn't it? The spices are usually stronger and spicier, probably, than South Carolina.
Well, we have one type of ingredient we use is called filet, and filet is made from the sassafras leaf.
Uh huh.
And it thickens. It's a thickener you put in your gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
The filet is a thickening you put in your gumbo. And the way we start a lot of our dishes out is called a roux, which is flour and oil that you stir until it becomes a nice golden brown gravy. But you have to be very skillful in how you do that. And that's the base of a lot of our dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have what is called the Holy Trinity, onion,
mm-hmm.
green pepper, and celery.
Yep.
We use with everything you cook.
Tell me about, I love spicy food, and I love pepper. Is there a lot of, like, black pepper in there as well, or? Either one of you.
I'll listen, Jerry. I didn't want to just interject that, but I mean, Robert, I could even listen.
Oh, well.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the show, and I'm always looking for healthier new recipes and everything like that.
Now, are you in the restaurant business, or do you do a lot of cooking, or?
No, but my family members, the women, are master cooks always. And I never forget, I had an aunt. She worked for a white family, and they wanted to open up a restaurant for her in Oregon, the state of Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And she refused to go out that week, but everybody here in their homes are just like master cooks.
Right, right.
But I'm always looking for healthier recipes because, you know, a lot of our food is heavy and a lot of cholesterol, so on and so forth here.
Well, I want to tell you about a salmon recipe that is my favorite that I'm wondering. My husband told me to call it North African marinated salmon. It actually we adapted it from Epicurious. We found the recipe through actually a friend who found it on Epicurious. But it has a lot of herbs, I guess, and spices. We left out the spicier stuff because we don't handle spice too well. But I was going to, as soon as it will let me scroll down, kind of read over a couple of the ingredients in that one. But it's absolutely my favorite salmon recipe. It's very, the seasonings are pretty strong, but I like bold flavors.
So, there's a type of sausage we eat here called andouille.
It's a type
of smoked sausage.
Oh, my husband
loves
that. If
you put it in any soups or anything, it's absolutely delicious.
Yes. Hey, Jared, could you put that in the chat, please, for the people in the chat? How do you spell that?
Oh, andouille. Okay, andouille. Yeah, andouille.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, if you could type that in, that'd be great.
We
I appreciate that. Thank you, if you could do that.
I'll continue to listen. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Jerry, very much for coming in. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually use the andouille sausage in the gumbo recipe. I'm trying to think that one. You can find that one on the recipe index page. If you just, I'm not sure what it's called, but if you go to the search, you know, under edit and search for the word gumbo, G-U-M-B-O, you'll go right to it. It's probably shrimp and something oak. Something gumbo, but I can't remember the exact name we called it. But the fish, let's see, the fish recipe we have that was a very recent recipe we published. Just waiting for Epicurious to pull up. I know that it uses, and now I'm drawing a blank. Let me think. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Hey, you saved my butt earlier, Ann. I'm just sitting here being – you want to talk about patience. You were very patient with me and my little technical issue there. And, you know, I'm still, you know, I guess there's still some bugs to be worked out. But every once in a while, there's, you know, have some technical difficulties. But I appreciate people, you know, when they stick with it.
Yeah. So this particular recipe, it just pulled up, and we, like I said, we don't publish recipes that have already been published on other sites. You know, that's just not a good practice
right
to do,
now.
We feel. So we link to the recipes unless we have made enough, you know, modifications to the recipe that we feel like it kind of has become more of our own recipe.
Sure,
so this
sure.
This particular one, we did just link to it because the only thing we did, I think, was either reduce or eliminate the dried red pepper that's in it.
Why did you eliminate the dried red pepper? Is it because of the spiciness of it, or?
Yeah, we just we don't. My husband, especially, we have food sensitivities, and spicy stuff really it can be problematic for him and can cause a lot of kind of heartburn and stuff like that.
I know, I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we just steer away from it. And so a lot of our recipes don't have a lot of pepper, you know, in them, but you can certainly experiment and add some yourself. But this particular recipe, they call, and I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce this, Jared probably would be better at that. It's Chermoula. Or Chermoula, Chermoula, and it says it's a traditional North African marinade for fish, especially in Morocco, where surprisingly it's often used with shad, which my husband told me is another kind of fish. So,
okay.
It's got cilantro, parsley, garlic, sea salt, cumin. It has the dried red pepper in it, but like I said, I think we leave that out. And then it has sweet red pepper, paprika, olive oil, lemon juice, or white wine vinegar. The person who did this recipe said they thought lemon was better. And a lot of times we also substitute lime juice instead of lemon juice because of our sensitivities.
No, I prefer lime. I love lime. When I have my iced tea, I get lime in it instead of lemon.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. See, my son is highly sensitive to amines, and lemon has a lot of amines in it, so we have to use the lime instead, which, again, you know, it's pretty similar. So, and then, of course, the salmon, but it's absolutely my favorite salmon recipe. I mean, I could probably eat it every week and not get tired of it.
I wish I cooked, I mean. I mean, I can microwave with the best of them. I mean, don't, you know. I eat a lot of frozen pizzas and, you know, Hot Pockets and, you know, my eating times and habits are absolutely atrocious. Thankfully, I've got a pretty, you know, decent metabolism as well, you know, or I can't imagine, you know. But I average like one, maybe two meals a day anyway, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I really would like to eat better. I mean, I'd like to be able to use recipes that I see on here and eat healthier, and especially since, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So
yeah.
I feel like I still feel like I'm in my 20s in some ways, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
In some ways, I mean, I still need very little sleep to be functional. So.
I wish I was.
Yeah, I can go off of about 3 hours sleep. I'm still tired throughout the day, but I could survive on 3 hours.
You can do it. Oh, not me.
Which that actually happens a lot.
Yeah. Do you like salads?
Yes. Yes, I do. I really do like salads. Yes, I do.
And what about coleslaw?
Not so much. Not so much. I do like cabbage, but I'm not a big coleslaw fan. I love cabbage. I love sauerkraut. It's spicy. I love anything spicy. Actually, you know, if it doesn't have spices on it, I throw a little hot sauce or, as I mentioned earlier, black pepper on it to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah. One of our recent recipes also was fried cabbage. Have you ever had it fried?
No, but I've never had it fried. That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. And, again, that's another one my kids love. And, you know, they're five and almost two, and they have a pretty varied diet and probably a different palate than a lot of kids their age. We try to expose them to a lot of different, you know, types of foods in hopes that they'll have a healthier diet.
Oh, I want to real quick, and I want to thank Jared again for coming in, but also he put a link up on in the chat, and I'm going to spell this out, Jared, for the people who will be listening to this who aren't in the chat and also might be listening to this later in the archives, and that's www.yale.edu/glc/GULLAH/index.htm. I guess that's talking about Gullah, right? Did I pronounce it right that time?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's helpful.
Well, I was just Lugnut in the chat said that coleslaw is a condiment, and then me calling it a side or whatever said I was nuts or something like that. Lugnut, was I correct in saying did I say that earlier? I'm talking to someone directly in the chat.
I know I saw that.
Okay.
That's funny.
I know some people put it on.
Yeah,
no, I didn't say that right. No,
you're
okay.
Lugnut.
Yeah, that's your nickname.
Says, okay.
That's what my daughter's boyfriend says. It is, Robert. Ha ha, we told him you're nuts. Well, you know, my daughter said, boyfriend said, is it a condiment? And it's not. Oh, okay. Well, maybe they're nuts. Maybe I'm not the one who's nuts. But actually, sometimes I guess I can be nuts, but you know. Whatever.
Well, one of my favorite... Yeah, my favorite way to eat coleslaw is with apples. And that's one of our recipes on there too. Apple coleslaw. You know, I told you I'm not creative at all. And,
well, no, apple coleslaw sounds pretty creative.
Well, you know, if I cook in the kitchen, I'm following a recipe. I hardly ever try to deviate because I'm just, you know, just I don't feel very confident, I guess, is the thing. And so, but one day I was actually getting a little creative, experience, and I got to thinking about coleslaw. And, I mean, I've never been a big coleslaw fan. But I was thinking, wonder what it would taste like with apples in it. So then I got online and started looking around to see if I could find any recipes that use apples and coleslaw. And I found one, and we tried it, and I loved it. So, you know, you might want to try it if you like apples.
Yeah, I do.
It definitely added
apples.
A different, you know, twist and taste to it. And so being that you like cabbage and you like apples, hey, you might like that one.
That's right. I heard a recipe one time. What do you think of it? I didn't do it right the first time because I don't think the coals were hot enough to be having some hot coals. Is you take a head of cabbage, okay, and then you core it. It's the green cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you core it. You take the core out. And then you fill the core up with butter. And then you wrap the whole head of cabbage in bacon. Which is always good for me because I love bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So you wrap the whole head of cabbage in bacon. And so what you do is you wrap it up, you know, tight in Reynolds wrap, or you know, semi-tight, you know, in Reynolds wrap. You put it on the grill for about an hour. And supposedly, you know, what happens is all that butter just kind of bubbles up, you know, over the core and then just runs off the cooking bacon. And
mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be, you know, where the cabbage just it just peels right off, and it does. I just the bacon just didn't get cooked well enough for my liking, but when I did it, so I don't think I had the coals hot enough. But oh my gosh, the cabbage just peels right off. It's got the bacon, you know, the bacon juice in it and the butter. Oh,
that sounds good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it sounds real. It's really good, and you're supposed to grill it for like an hour.
Yeah, we're big bacon fans here too. Of course, it's not always the healthiest.
Oh no, I love bacon. Actually, I've joined the bacon party. I'm not too happy with the Republicans right now.
I saw that on Facebook.
You seen them over the bacon party on Facebook? Yeah,
I did.
So when I was looking at other parties, and I seen the bacon party, and you know, I really support bacon. So bacon's really done nothing wrong to me ever. It's never you know, disappointed me. Bacon's never really disappointed me. So I'm thinking about going to the bacon party route.
That's funny. I'll tell you a little tip, though. You're talking about wanting to be more healthy or healthier.
Yeah, no doubt.
I tried this recipe recently for cold pea salad.
Ooh, yeah.
Let me tell you, I used to eat at, I don't know if you've ever heard of a restaurant called Just Fresh.
No.
Let's see, I think there's one in Charleston, or at least there used to be near the aquarium. And I know there are some in Charlotte, in the Charlotte area. And I think some of them closed down that we used to go to. I guess they were in the Charleston area. I can't remember now. But they had a pea salad side dish that I loved. And I wish that my husband could figure out what that recipe is. But it's been so long since we had it. And so anyway, I got online looking around to see if I could find anything that might be even the least bit similar. And I found one to try. It wasn't too similar, but it was a cold pea salad. It's actually called cold pea salad. And if you, for anybody interested, the best way to probably get to it right away, if you're on our blog and you see the little Pinterest button, and if you are on Pinterest or whatever, if you follow us on Pinterest, I pinned it onto my board on there called Favorite Food. And I haven't posted anything on the blog about it yet because I want to do something different with it. I want to try it with red onions because I love red onions, and the recipe at Just Fresh had red onions in it. So I want to wait until I can try it with that before I do anything with it on our blog. But one of its ingredients is smokehouse almonds. And in my opinion, probably many people would disagree, but in my opinion, that had a very similar flavor element as bacon. So if you do want to use those, like in salads, to kind of get that hint of bacon flavor instead of the bacon, obviously it would be much healthier, and you'll get that similar type of flavor.
And, you know, I love bacon with coffee. Just, I don't know, something about a bacon-coffee combination.
You're kidding me.
Oh,
right?
No.
Bacon and coffee?
Oh, yeah. Not, I mean, you don't put the bacon inside the coffee. I mean, you eat some bacon, then you wash it down with some coffee. That's what I'm at.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you want to hear something? My daughter likes to, speaking of apples, she likes to dip her apples in tartar sauce.
Ooh. Well, you know what? That's funny. My son loves tartar sauce, and he'll try dipping all kinds of things in it. Like when we eat out and he gets tartar sauce with his fish. Yeah, he'll try, and we're just like, ooh, you never know.
Let me tell you about a tasty treat. Everybody's like, ooh, when they hear about it, but I love it.
Lugnut says bacon is bad for you, Robert.
Huh?
Lugnut says bacon is bad for you, so, yeah, you definitely
should try
the smokehouse on.
Well, I'll have to definitely check that out. I mean, you know, and I love peas, too, I definitely checked it out. But one thing I really like is a dessert. It's a shake. And I'll go to the local United Dairy Farmers. And it's a rainbow sherbet chocolate shake.
Ooh.
And it's good. I like it. And what you just take, instead of ice cream, you take rainbow sherbet, and you put in the rainbow sherbet, and then you put the chocolate milk in. You know, whip it up, you know, when they do it as a shake. And, oh, my gosh, I like it. I think people are like, rainbow sherbet and chocolate milk. It's good. I like it.
That sounds interesting. Definitely could try that.
I like
sherbet and I like chocolate. So, you know, it sounds interesting, but it's worth a try at least.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like those little chocolate balls that have, like, the fruit-flavored I can't remember what they were called, but it kind of tastes like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Meds with bacon in it. Not the MCDs with bacon in it. That's a lug lip. I don't know what you mean by MCDs. McDonald's, maybe? No. there's the staple of my diet, McDonald's. No, that's not actually true. But actually, I don't really eat that much McDonald's, but I eat a lot of Subway and Taco Bell and...
I said yes.
Skyline. Yes, okay.
McDonald's. You know, I like McDonald's, but I don't try not to eat it too much. But that's funny because that was one of the big things I craved while I was pregnant was McDonald's French fries, and I think maybe the chicken nuggets.
You said you were craving those when you're
Uh-huh.
Well, I find myself craving stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm just craving whatever. My wife's like, maybe you should be the one getting pregnant. I said, you know what? If I could do it, I would, because I'm telling you what, we would be millionaires.
That's right.
Seriously, a first pregnant man, blah, blah, blah. And not the one who was a woman who became a man or whatever. That doesn't count. You know what I mean? They're making dinner. But anyway, I digress. That's a subject I'm not even going to get to.
Right.
That's a topic I'm not even going to get to.
Speaking of bacon, what do you think? I found a recipe for bacon ice cream.
I've heard about that.
Really?
I've heard about bacon ice cream. I don't know whether I would try it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love bacon, don't get me wrong. But bacon ice cream...
I know,
I just don't know if I like it that much. I don't know.
Thing is, you know, like I say, you never know. If, you know, you like ice cream, you like bacon, maybe you should try it.
Well, yeah, I'll try almost anything. I mean, I'm not saying to go and eat insects or anything like that.
Oh, here it is. So I mentioned earlier that July is National Ice Cream Month, and so I like to do Wordless Wednesday posts, and I usually put images of things that I found on Pinterest that kind of relate to a topic in those posts. And then if you just click on the image, then it takes you to the Pinterest board where all those items are. And then if you want to check out any of the individual items, you can click through on each of those. But one of the ones for the one I did today's Wednesday.
Yeah. I know, this week's flying. I can't believe it's Thursday already tomorrow.
I know. Was for candied bacon ice cream.
Ooh, now, that's possible. Well, what about, what do they call them, deep-fried Twinkies or something like that?
I have heard of that, too. I've never tried it.
Yeah, I've never had one, but it sounds interesting enough. I've
actually never been a big Twinkie
before, but I can imagine.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I eat when I have time, and since I don't have time, I don't eat. So, and when I do eat, it's a lot of times, like, oh, what did I have for dinner tonight? I can't remember. I had a frozen pizza tonight, some Doritos. That was, you know, actually that's all I ate today, actually. It was one of those, Totino's pizzas and some Doritos. That's pretty much the extent of my eating for the day, so.
Right.
And then, you know what I do? I'll be up and doing my unwinding period, and I'll eat cheese or some more. Oh, my gosh. The more I hear about my eating habits, the more I'm making myself sick. I'm like, man, should a human being eat that way? I would say no. Then why am
I
doing it? Well, because I don't think of it. I just, when it comes to eating, I just don't think of it. You know, my wife will see me at the end of the day. She'll be like, did you eat anything today? You know, or it would be about, 6 o'clock, whatever. Did you eat anything today? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. No, I didn't eat anything today.
How in the world do you forget to eat?
You know, because, you just get into the day, Because my thing is, I don't eat breakfast. I can't just get up and eat. I mean, I can get up and have 3 cups of coffee, but I can't get up and eat. So I get up, I have my coffee, and then I do what I need to do for the day. I'm doing my thing. And by the time I get to where it's, like, past lunchtime, like 2 o'clock, I'm like, well, I'm going to eat dinner in 3 hours. Why bother eating lunch?
Right.
You know, so then I wait till dinner time, and then that's when I eat for the day. So and I do that a lot, which I should change that, But breaking bad habits is definitely a hard thing to do.
So why do you not eat breakfast exactly?
Hmm.
Why would you say you don't eat breakfast? You just
I just don't eat in the morning. I guess I might be a little bit hungry, but I have to, if I eat breakfast, I have to force myself to eat breakfast just because. I don't know, I'm just not like, when I was a kid, if that's what you did, you got up, you ate breakfast, you went to school.
Like, as much as you like bacon, and that's a big breakfast food.
Well, you got to cook it, and then I got to take the time to cooking it. And for me, you got to make it, and I'm like, I don't have time to make breakfast, I got to go do something else, either work on the show or what have you, or research this or that, And if I do eat breakfast, it's in front of the computer, or lunch, it's in front of the computer, usually, so.
Yeah, Lugnut says just drink the coffee, that's it.
Yeah, that's me, I just drink coffee, and then, as I said, you're supposed to have these meals a day, so I gotta get to it, and take a vitamin, and, you know, as I said, I'm not getting any younger, so.
You like oatmeal?
I hate oatmeal.
You hate oatmeal? Okay.
I hate oatmeal. My wife loves it. I mean, that girl, she can eat oatmeal for dinner, you know, but, oh, and she's done it, you know. I'm
yeah.
like, didn't you have oatmeal for breakfast? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like, and you're eating oatmeal again? Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, my gosh. She's the only person I know who eats the same thing every morning for breakfast. Eats the same thing every day for lunch. And then has whatever different for dinner. But sometimes she'll have the same thing for dinner that she had for lunch. I'm like, you're eating oatmeal? Because a lot of times we don't eat at the same time. I'm like, you're
right.
eating oatmeal for dinner? Oatmeal? She's like, oh, yeah. For lunch, she's like, it's too late to eat anything. It'll be, you know, it'll be like 7 o'clock. It's too late to eat anything heavy. You know,
right.
it's later. Okay.
Oh,
after something, I'm far away from my oatmeal has fiber, and you need it for your brain, Robert. Oh, okay.
Right.
There we go. Was that a jibe against me, Logan? I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Well, you know what? Actually, you know, there was a time where I force-fed myself, you know, force-fed it to me because I was on, you know, kind of trying to do a health kick, you know, like, oh, I'm going to eat healthy, and I was actually eating oatmeal for breakfast every morning with a piece of fruit and some yogurt and a cup of coffee, and I kind of fell away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was working in a job at the time that gave you the time to do it, where, you know, I'd make my breakfast at work, and then, you know, while my computer was booting up and stuff like that, that's when I'd make it. And then I'd get back, and I'd look, check my emails, and, you know, I'd, you know, check, but do some little computer stuff and prep up some things for the day. You know, and I could multitask. I can eat and, you know, and get my work done. So.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, maybe you need to find some kind of a more of a convenience food, but that's healthier. Of course, if you don't like oatmeal, that kind of makes it hard.
Oh,
a lot of
I know.
Have oatmeal
but then you have to make the oatmeal in the morning, which is like, well, wait a minute, you make coffee in the morning. Why can't
well, no,
you just make it?
No, there are bars you can make, you know, ahead of time.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. Yeah, that's
yeah.
true. Oh, yep. Yeah, because, you know, I'll take a cup of coffee, I'll throw it in the microwave it for about... You know, because I want instant coffee. I'm not waiting for coffee. I want it now. So I'm going to make an instant coffee. And what I need to do is just get one of those automatic thing, you know, timer, the coffee starts turning on. And so, you know, I put it in the microwave for a minute, 35 seconds. I walk away from the microwave, go to the computer, set it up, or do whatever I'm doing on the computer. Bing! Okay, then I go back, make the coffee, go back to the computer. Because,
right.
you know, I'm like, I'm not going to stand here for a minute and a half waiting for this coffee to get done. I want to go to the computer and get some, you know, get some work done. I want to wait for the coffee to. See, if I cook, I can't be doing. I'm cooking. You know, I'm not working on something. I'm cooking. You know, so.
Well, yeah,
you know.
But oatmeal, like, it's real fast to make. All you have to do is, like, you know, put it in a container, pour milk
that's
in it,
true.
Stick in the microwave, turn the microwave
yeah,
on, and then wait for it to cook. Mine takes 2.5 minutes to cook. So once you just throw it in there, you know, you can do other things.
You're right, Anne.
But,
you're right, Lugnut. I should.
If you hate oatmeal, you hate oatmeal.
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, I try to get the stuff that's got, like, the strawberries in it or blueberries or what have you. You know,
right.
But, yeah, it's okay. It's all about habit. I really believe that. I mean, I've gotten myself in such a habit of not eating breakfast, you know, and for that matter, it's kind of carried over where,
right.
you know, I don't really eat much at all. And I've kind of developed a habit, and I do see where it's starting to you know, affect me because I actually get like a burning sensation in my throat more than I used to,
mm-hmm.
and that probably has something to do with it. So.
Well, here's an idea for you: find a recipe for a quiche with andouille sausage in it, and you can make that ahead of time, and then just heat it up in the morning and eat it while you're doing whatever.
I don't know what that is, but I could check. And now, quiche, that's the thing that rises and falls real easy, right?
Quiche is, I guess it's, I mean, this is probably wrong, but my thinking is it's like an egg kind of pie.
Yeah,
you know,
I've heard
make
of
it kind of like a pie, and it's got eggs in it, and you can put other things in it. So,
I'll have to look into that.
As everyone probably has realized by now, I'm definitely not an expert on food.
And your husband does a lot of the food preparations and things like that at the blog, right?
That's right, he does. And I do more of the technical side of posting
mm-hmm.
it. You know, we sometimes work together on writing up the blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
But I take the pictures usually and, you know, format and do the marketing and all of that stuff. So, yeah, he definitely does more of the kitchen stuff.
Well, I tell you what, I'd really, because we're about getting ready to close things down here for tonight, but I'd really like to have you back on. It would be great if you and your husband could come in and you could talk more about, the foods and things of that nature. I see Jared's not any longer here, but if you get the chance to get back, listen to the archives or whatever, I'd like to thank Jared for coming in tonight as well and calling in and give us the information that he did. And thank you, Lugnut, out there and people who are in the chat. Listen to the archives as well. Thank you for coming in. And I want to thank the other listeners for coming in tonight. And say hi to you people on the archives. And thank you very much for listening to the show as well and sharing it with others. So if there's anything, I've got like about 3 minutes left. If there's anything you want to chime in about real quick, and that'd be great.
Well, one thing I did want to mention that I've been thinking about, and there's no definite plan so far, but it's just something I've been thinking a lot about doing. I've actually been thinking about possibly doing a Blog Talk radio program.
Really? What would be the theme? Would it be something with what you guys are doing? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't have to do them every day, do you? They don't have to be daily.
I'm sorry?
They don't have to be daily.
No, you can have you could do it whenever you want, as long as it's within the parameters of of the time they let you do it. But I think it's if you get it like a premium thing or something, you can do it whenever. Yeah, but it don't have to be daily. I know people who do it once a week or a couple times a week. Or I'm not live daily, but I do rebroadcast, so the show is actually daily. But no, and you could schedule it whenever you want. There's no set schedule. If you say I can't really do my show at 8 o'clock today. I think I'll start it at 8:30 instead.
Mm-hmm.
You set up the episode, right, it's very free-formed, which is good. I just try to keep it during a regular time, people could say, oh, okay, well, Bart's Logic Clue will talk on.
One of the things that I've thought about is having, stories and maybe, a favorite recipe from the family or the service member, people who serve in our military or in our country with, first responders, police, firemen. So, an opportunity for some of those people to maybe share their story of how they ended up getting involved in the career, in their career and, their favorite food or recipe or something like that from their family.
That sounds nice. For clarification, when you were with, because one of the things on, promoting it for the live show, and I will for the archives, now I might have not gotten it straight. I thought you were the phone team captain for the new campaign. Is that incorrect, or maybe I should clarify on that?
Yeah, no, I was at first.
You were at first, okay, so it wasn't an accurate scene that it just changed over to...
Right, exactly.
Well, great, because I don't want to put out any false information out there, so I was right, because in both ways. Okay, great. I'd love to have you come back, and definitely have your husband come on, and he can talk, more about the foods, so...
Okay,
thank you very much, Ann.
Sure, thank you.
No, you're welcome, and I'll keep... your website link on my website, at least until this coming up Saturday. So if people would like to visit the website, you can either go directly through her site or to her blog, or you could go through the my website if you don't have a way of getting directly to her. So
right.
Well, Anne, I've got this song that I play every night as a closing song, and it's by Aubrey Ashburn. And she does really beautiful, voice. And actually, people could go to my website and try to, send her a message on her website to have her come on the show, because I would really love to interview her.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it would be phenomenal for me to, because I really enjoy her music. And so it'd just be a phenomenal, experience for me to interview her on here. So let me find this. It's kind of buried in all these audio clips that I have. And there's no way to set it up where it's automatic. So thank you very much, Anne. And
sure,
if you want to listen to the music, that's fine. And
want to visit the website, that's great too.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It has. It's been a lot of fun too. So take care, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay. You too.
Good night. And good night, folks. Take care.